This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in the show, we'll hear from the candidates in the Covington mayor's race. First, national pollsters have been closely watching Ohio while weighing the odds in this year's presidential race. But on November 8th, Ohio voters will also elect one member to represent them in the U.S. Senate. WVXU political reporter Howard Wilkinson recently spoke with the candidates, former Ohio Governor Democrat Ted Strickland and incumbent Republican Senator Rob Portman, about the race and the issues they feel are critical to the nation and Ohio. Today's show was pre-recorded, so we won't be taking any questions or comments. Here's Howard's interview with Ted Strickland.
Governor Strickland, welcome. Thanks for being with us today.
Great to be with you.
This has been a really long up and down campaign for you, I know.
It has.
Yeah. And it's been important, obviously, because Democrats are trying very hard nationally to win back control of the Senate, obviously win the White House as well. If, in fact, you win this race and you become part of a Democratic majority in the Senate, and these are big ifs, what would you see as the priorities of that caucus if, say, Hillary Clinton is president?
Well, this country needs an economy that works for everyone, and it's not working for everyone right now. The stock market's doing well. The wealthiest among us are doing very, very well. But average citizens are feeling as if the economy is not working for them. And there's a reason for that, Howard, because for the last several decades, people have worked hard and wealth has been created. But that wealth has not been shared among those who have worked to create it. And let me just say briefly why I say that. There was a time in America when productivity increased, wages increased in a corresponding manner. And some 30 or so years ago, that started to change. And wealth continued to be produced, but it was increasingly concentrated among the richest 1% of the people in the country, while wages for average working people sort of flattened out and in some cases actually went down. Mm-hmm. And so there's a big gap now between the richest people in America and average working people, and that's causing a problem.
So that would require a rewriting of the tax code, it would seem.
Well, it would, because the tax code has been changed in the last 30 or so years. Mm-hmm. Beginning with the Reagan administration, quite frankly, where taxes have been cut for the richest among us and an increasing tax burden has been placed on the backs of regular working people. And so we need to rewrite the ship. We need to bring about a better balance. Things are out of balance now in our economy, and people are feeling that. People on the left and the right are sensing that there's something very wrong with the way our economy is not working for most people.
You talk about how people are feeling this, feeling the pain of that kind of imbalance. Another issue that has come up, obviously the Republicans from Donald Trump all the way down are saying we need to get rid of Obamacare. And you're seeing Obamacare, the people who have signed up on programs through Obamacare are seeing higher premiums. And even in the private sector, where private companies that offer plans to their employees are more expensive. Does this system need to be reworked? I know you're not in favor of scrapping it, but does it need to be fine-tuned?
Well, it does need to be improved, obviously. But, Howard, we cannot forget that there are about 20 million Americans who have access to health care coverage now that did not have access to health care, and about 800,000 Ohioans now have health care coverage that did not have coverage until Obamacare came along. And as we know, Governor John Kasich chose to use Obamacare to expand Medicaid coverage, and I'm glad he did. I think that was the wise decision to make. It does, I'm not saying it's perfect, but I'm saying that it's irresponsible to say we're going to just get rid of it without having any replacement. Senator Portman has voted against Obamacare to get rid of it.
Right.
But he's never come forth with a meaningful replacement. And so if we were to get rid of Obamacare, what it would mean that insurance companies would once again be able to discriminate against people with the pre-existing conditions. They would be able to once again charge women more for their health care coverage than men. The expansion of Obamacare through Medicaid is just really not possible without Obamacare. You can't just say we're going to expand Medicaid without Obamacare. It just doesn't work. And so we can improve it. We should improve it, obviously. But we ought not to talk about getting rid of it, because that would deprive people who now have health care coverage from having access to that coverage.
Do you think there's a when you talk about so-called entitlement programs like Medicare and Social Security, are we at a point now where we need means testing?
I don't think so. Okay. I think if we were to engage in means testing with Social Security, for example, it would fundamentally change the nature of Social Security. It would transform it into a welfare program. It's an entitlement program now. And why is it called an entitlement program? Because people are entitled to it as a result of the contributions they make to it.
Regardless of their income.
And so Social Security is a wonderful program, and we can fix Social Security in terms of its funding rather easily. All we've got to do is raise the cap that is now around $120,000 people pay into Social Security up to that point, and then they don't pay any additionally. We could raise that cap, and we could extend the life of Social Security for many decades into the future. So it's a wonderful program. We ought not to privatize it. Senator Portman, when he was George Bush's budget director, advocated to privatize Social Security. I think that's a terrible idea. It's a wonderful program. I think Social Security is probably the best program ever devised by humankind in terms of making sure that people don't have to face their later years living in poverty.
Let's switch gears just a little bit here and talk about guns. And you are obviously a former member of the House, U.S. House.
Yes.
You represented two different districts in southern and eastern Ohio. And you were governor of the state of Ohio. And you always had the NRA's backing.
Yes, I did.
And you lost that. Now they're backing Rob Portman for the United States Senate. Mm-hmm. Was there an evolution in your mind?
Yes, there was.
What was it? What changed your mind about either Second Amendment rights or just the use of firearms?
Yes. Well, let me say, Howard, I grew up in the country. I grew up on a dirt road called Duck Run.
Yeah.
My family hunted, and I hunted. And when I was governor, I started the first youth turkey hunt. I would take young people out. We'd camp out all night, get up before daylight, and go turkey hunting. So I certainly believe in the Second Amendment, have always been a supporter of the Second Amendment. But, Howard, I've got eyes and ears, and I've got a head and a heart. And I've seen what's been happening in this country in terms of the carnage of gun violence. We lose 33,000 Americans a year to gun violence. And so I believe we can have common sense efforts to curb gun violence without interfering with the Second Amendment rights that are under the Constitution. And so I've really split with the NRA on this issue. Senator Portman has not. And the two basic things that I have committed to is working to close loopholes for background checks and to keep guns out of people who are suspected of being terrorists. The so-called no-fly list. We have a situation in this country today where some people are considered so dangerous they can't get on an airplane, but they can go into a gun store and buy a semi-automatic weapon. That's irrational in my judgment, and I think we can close those loopholes without interfering with the basic rights of Americans to have guns.
And, of course, your position on this has resulted in the NRA spending money trying to defeat
Lots of money.
Lots of
money. Over $2 million they've
right.
spent.
And there's been an enormous amount of money spent in this race by outside interests. Most of it's spent against you. Now, you've, yes. you know, some of your supporters have also spent independent expenditures.
It's been about $60 million to $9
million. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And most of the money that's been spent against me has come from out-of-state billionaires.
Mm-hmm.
They are distorting my record as governor. They're blaming me for using the rainy day fund when I was governor. Well, Howard, it was raining. It was raining really hard.
Yes.
And it was a national recession. And I used the rainy day fund because mm-hmm. I didn't want to cut funding for education or for police and fire. You know, Howard, even in the midst of the national recession, I kept faith with local communities. I did not cut the local government fund. I think I did the right thing by using the rainy day fund. But what really bothers me about the excessive spending, $60 million, is that there are wealthy interests who are trying to buy control of our government. They're trying to buy these Senate races. And I think that's unhealthy.
And you think these attacks are unfair because quite obviously you did not begin the national recession.
Well, the national recession occurred as a result of Wall Street and George Bush policies when Rob Portman was George Bush's budget director. I inherited a recession, and I worked responsibly to protect Ohio during that recession.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Governor.
Well, thank you, Howard.
Thanks for having me.
WVXU's Howard Wilkinson talking with former Ohio Governor Ted Strickland about his race for the U.S. Senate. Coming up, we'll hear from Rob Portman. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. WVXU's Howard Wilkinson recently spoke with the candidates in the Ohio U.S. Senate race, Democrat Ted Strickland, who we just heard from, and Republican Rob Portman, who's up next.
Senator Portman, welcome. Thanks for being with us today.
Howard, it's always great to be on with you.
I understand you've been wrapping up an 11-day tour on your RV, a tour of the states. Is this sort of your closing argument to the people of Ohio?
Yeah, this is day 11 of our Countdown to Victory Tour, we call it, which is a two-week RV tour all over the state. We're going to 35 counties, over 80 stops, covering about 4,000 miles in Ohio. But most importantly, we're just talking to people all over the state and telling them about what I'm for, why we believe that it's important to have someone in Washington who actually is an independent voice for Ohio. We talk about our record, talk about what my roadmap is for the future to get the economy moving again, to help better protect the country. And it's been a great response, Howard. We've got over 2,000 volunteers every week now making phone calls, walking door to door for us. And I go to those offices. We have 12 of them around the state and thank them. And, you know, today I met with the Hispanic Leadership Council we've got. Had a great meeting with them. I also gave a speech regarding this heroin and prescription drug addiction issue. And yesterday we had Jack Nicklaus with us. Last Friday we had Laura Bush with us. Anthony Munoz actually heads up our Hispanic coalition, so we got a lot of supporters out there standing by our side.
Yeah, when you talk about being an independent voice in Washington, what do you mean by that?
I mean, I get up every day and figure out what's best for Ohio. So whether it's my legislation to level the playing field on trade, which basically says to Ohio steel workers and paper workers and tire workers, all of whom have benefited from it, you know, we're looking out for you. I do believe that we ought to expand exports and that trade needs to be something that helps create jobs here in Ohio, but it's got to be fair. In other words, it has to be balanced trade where if unfair imports are coming in, we're going to crack down on them. And Ohio is one of those states that's hit hard by some of these unfair imports from countries like China, you know, when they dump their product or they subsidize it. So we're standing up for them. And I don't care if it's a Republican or a Democrat perspective, you know, I'm going to stand up for Ohio. And that's what we've done. The heroin and prescription drug issue is another example of that, where I've taken the lead, as you know, for over 20 years. But more recently, on this heroin issue, I've brought together Republicans and Democrats alike, because Ohio is probably top five in the country in terms of being impacted by this terrible epidemic. And so we wrote legislation that's now been signed into law by the president that's going to help to turn the tide and push back against some of this growing addiction and the problems that it causes for our families, our communities, and law enforcement and others. So my point is, if you hire me, you're hiring somebody who's going to work across the aisle and get stuff done that makes sense for Ohio.
And what you're talking about,
common sense conservative. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, and what you're talking about on the heroin issue is the Comprehensive Addiction and Recovery Act, CARA.
That's correct. Yep. Comprehensive Addiction Recovery Act. It took us 3 years to put it together, Howard. We brought in experts from all over the country, a lot of people from Ohio, because unfortunately we have a big problem here in Ohio. So we've got a lot of expertise, and you know, we met with recovering addicts, we met with experts in prevention and treatment and recovery, and came up with legislation that actually makes sense, not just to spend more money on this issue, which needs to be done, but to spend it in a way that's more effective to actually get at the problem. And that legislation has now been signed into law and is starting to go to work in Ohio.
Is that funded adequately at this point? I mean, are you going to have to put more money into this, or are you not?
Yeah. Our legislation adds another $181 million a year to this issue of opioid addiction. That would be prescription drugs, heroin, fentanyl. And importantly, it's not just more money, but it's money that's spent on evidence-based programs that we know work. So it's the right kind of prevention, better kinds of treatment, longer-term recovery, because we found out that that's necessary, helping law enforcement to have the Narcan they need and the firefighters have the Narcan they need to save lives. But most importantly, Howard, it's to get people who are addicted into treatment, stop this high crime rate. We've got every county in Ohio tells me their number one cause of crime now is this issue of heroin and prescription drugs. Stop these families from being torn apart. Get people back to work. We've got a real problem in our state. We need to combat it, and that's what this legislation does in a comprehensive way.
I'm sure you've heard this, too. I mean, I hear it from first responders that they're spending an inordinate amount of their time responding to heroin addicts and bringing them back with Narcan. It's just eating up law enforcement and EMT's entire jobs.
I've been to two firehouses in your hometown of Cincinnati just in the past few months. One of them was the firehouse that helped most people during that terrible spate of about 6 days where we had 174 right. overdoses, huge spike in overdoses. And I went there to talk to them about it. And Howard, nobody's more desperate than they are to get this problem solved. They want to get these people into treatment. They don't want to keep treating them on Narcan, sometimes the same person again and again. But the meanwhile, they're saving lives.
I mean, how will this take pressure off of them? Your legislation.
One, we're providing them with more training with Narcan and Narcan itself, so their budgets are getting stretched really thin because the price of Narcan is going up because the demand is increasing. So we're helping them actually to be able to have the life-saving drug that reverses the effects of an overdose and the training for it. But second, and even more importantly, our legislation provides funding for treatment and recovery, so and for prevention and education. So hopefully, you know, stronger prevention education that really focuses on this connection between prescription drugs and heroin, getting into the middle schools, not just high schools, but getting down young and talking to kids about this will keep them from having to respond to so many overdoses because there will be fewer of them. And then getting these people who do overdose into treatment. Right now, 8 out of 10 of the heroin addicts in Ohio are not seeking treatment. And unfortunately, a number of them are overdosing. They're being saved by these first responders, mostly firefighters. And then they're getting back into it again, and the firefighters are showing up again at the same houses or, you know, on the same street corner. And so what they want is a way to get these people into treatment. And sometimes it's because treatment's not there, it's not accessible, because there's not enough funding to provide the treatment that's now needed. Our legislation will help to do that. Sometimes it's because the treatment programs aren't very effective, and our legislation directs the funding toward the kind of treatment programs that have been proven to work better, like the drug courts that we have around our state of Ohio. The drug courts get people who are in prison diverted into a treatment program. Now, if they don't stay clean, there is the incentive built into the system that they may go back to jail or prison. That's been very effective in many cases to get people clean and sober and get them back to work and back connected with their families.
We're into a new period now where people are re-enrolling or enrolling in Obamacare health insurance programs. You want to repeal Obamacare, do you not?
Yeah, look, Obamacare is not working for Ohio. My opponent says it's wonderful, and it's, you know, the best thing since sliced bread, and it's just not working. I mean, it has caused a
spike. Are parts of it working?
Excuse me?
Are parts of it working?
Well, I support a really important part of it, and that is to say, if you have a pre-existing condition, you shouldn't be prohibited from getting health care.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do that, Howard, without turning the health care system on its head, which is what the Affordable Care Act does, to the point that, as you know, health care costs have skyrocketed. They've gone up over 90% for the individual market just in the last 4 years. We're told that even under Obamacare exchanges, for next year in Ohio, it's going to be a 12 to 13% increase on average. People can't afford that. I mean, it's getting out of control. It's 25% nationally, but even in Ohio, double-digit increases. And the other problem is deductibles are so high. So, you know, I talk to people all the time, including recently a woman from the Columbus area who told me, Rob, I don't really have health care because even though I'm on the Affordable Care Act in the exchange, my deductible is $6,000. And so I have to go out of pocket for that first $6,000. So it's like I don't have health care at all. And that's increasingly what we're finding around the state. We also had 20,000 people lose their coverage just in the past few months because, remember, Aetna pulled out of the exchanges. That was 20,000 mm-hmm. alone. And then actually another 20,000 lost their health care because of the co-op in Ohio, which was part of Obamacare to have a co-op, kind of like the alternative to a public option, as they called it. It went belly up in Ohio. And 20,000 people have to scramble now to find new health care insurance. So it's just not working. I think everybody acknowledges that. Bill Clinton said it's crazy, it's not working. The liberal governor of Minnesota recently said the Affordable Care Act is anything but affordable. And so we do have to replace it with something that works much better. And I think we can. You know, you and I have talked about this before, but there are ways to get the cost of health care down, to increase more competition, more transparency, give individuals the ability to save on their own through health savings accounts. Let people take a tax credit for their health care and allow people to choose what's best for their family and force the providers and the insurance companies to compete, you know, for the business of the millions of Ohioans who are seeing their health care costs dramatically increase right now.
Senator, we've got about a minute here. What's your view on how we deal with the Syrian refugees and who gets in and who does not get in?
Ever since I started serving in the Senate, I've had a strong view on this, which is America needs to stand tall and provide for what the president has talked about but never done, which is a safe space in Syria so they can stay there, you know, a no-fly zone and a safe zone. These people do not want to leave their country. They're leaving because their own government is bombing them. You know, he's killed over 200,000 of his own citizens, the Syrian president, Assad. And so they're fleeing. You know, probably 3 or 4 million people have fled. A lot of them, about a million, probably have gone to Europe. A lot have stayed in the region, but that's putting a big strain on countries like Jordan and others that have taken in these refugees. So part of the goal is to let them stay in their country by providing some basic protection on a humanitarian basis. And then second, I think with regard to Syrian refugees coming here, we need to be very careful. The FBI director has said we do not have the information on these people we need to have. He says we have gaps in their information because we don't have anybody in Syria. You can look at their background, and yes, you can go to a refugee camp and interview somebody, but you can't interview somebody, in Syria who knows the person and make connections there because we don't have a relationship with the government there. We don't have the people on the ground. So I think it's very dangerous on the Syrian side, and I'd be very cautious about that.
All right, Senator, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks, Howard. Always great to talk to you.
Okay.
Rob Portman, who's running for re-election to the U.S. Senate, speaking with WVXU's Howard Wilkinson. Coming up, Howard will talk with the two candidates running for mayor of Covington. Today's show was pre-recorded, so we aren't taking any calls or emails. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.